further?
What?
Will you send your team to Moscow to negotiate further now that you're north?
Well, I would do it. If I thought it would help, I'd do it. I'd love to see that war end. I've settled 8 wars, and actually 9, and now it looks like we could have 10, but I would love to make that the 10th. I will.
He settled 8 wars, but it's actually 9. Now it's 10, and it's soon going to be 15. The reality is, he's trying to count the Iran war that he started a few months ago as a war that he has now solved. He's also counting the Israel and Gaza conflict, which the ceasefire lasted maybe 24 hours before Israel continued to strike and starve the civilians of Gaza, and Hamas began to kill dissidents in the Gaza Strip. So that ceasefire didn't hold. 5 of the wars he's citing are just lies. The other 5, he was basically on the phone while a negotiation happened, and then he claims he ended this war. It is obvious that Donald Trump is trying to reverse engineer how he can become some great man of peace, or great man of history, whatever he wants to be, right? He's grandiose in that manner. So he's reverse engineering this idea that he has solved or ended 10 separate wars, when that is obviously not true, and we should not let him get away with lies like this. In fact, Donald Trump has struck 10 different countries since he got into office. I'll post a list on my Substack, adammockler.com. Make sure you check it out. But we're going to list out all of the countries Trump has struck since he took office, and it is 10 at this point. He is lying. The world is abandoning Donald Trump, and he is repeating the same old neocon policies that have racked up trillions in debts, killed a bunch of young men and women my age, and turned America into a pariah on the global stage. We're going to break all of this down throughout this video. Make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. And before we jump more into Donald Trump's meltdown on the White House front lawn, as he does every single day, before we jump into the failure that this war is, I want to talk a little bit about how the world is viewing us throughout all of this, because just this morning, Peter Magyar of Hungary was sworn in to replace Viktor Orban. This is incredible for a few reasons. Peter Magyar is not some like progressive liberal who he's not aligned with us perfectly. He's actually a former member of Viktor Orban's party, but he is somebody who genuinely believes in democracy. He's pro-Ukraine. He's pro-EU. He says F Russia, F the Russian oligarchy and the propaganda. He's returning democracy to Hungary, and he's for liberalism in the broad sense, meaning freedom, the freedom to vote, the freedom to be choose what you want to be, right? So he's trying to make Hungary a more socially harmonious country and fix up the institutions, and I absolutely appreciate that. In fact, when he won, he refused to call Donald Trump because Trump and J.D. Vance endorsed and tried to rally for Viktor Orban. We have this right here. Magyar says he won't call Trump after election win. This was a few weeks ago. Hungary's new prime minister, Peter Magyar, says he will not initiate contact with U.S. President Donald Trump following his landslide victory over Viktor Orban, but will remain open to dialogue if approached, which that's fair, sure. The stance marks a break from Orban's close personal ties with Trump, despite Magyar having previously praised the U.S. leader in contrast to Orban. His position signals a shift towards a stronger European Union and more NATO alignment while maintaining pragmatic relations with Washington. I think that is absolutely fair of Peter Magyar, and it's a type of ruthless liberalism that I have been advocating for a while. And I hope that bleeds through on the Adam Mockler channel, by the way. I hope that you're able to see we try to be assertive, aggressive, while standing up for human dignity. I think that's what Peter Magyar is. I'm not saying he's liberal like a Democrat in America. I'm saying he is standing up for democracy in an affirmative manner while also being ruthless. I mean, when he became the prime minister, he took a photo next to the president, who was Viktor Orban's right-hand man. He took a photo of them standing next to each other. Then Peter Magyar posted that photo saying, basically, this guy is fired. Get out of my place. Get out of my administration. Just brilliantly ruthless against people who are pro-Russia stooges. That brings me over to Donald Trump. We're going to return to the United States' international standing in just one moment, but when Donald Trump is doing these White House front lawn meltdowns, in his mind, he's getting narrative control over a war that is not going well. Donald Trump is a president who likes to uniquely be in front of the cameras. He likes to talk a lot of shit in front of the cameras. We all know this. And because in his mind, he's gaining some sort of control over the narrative. But we're getting to a point where there are no reality tests around him, no walls around him for him to be able to push back on and understand what's real and what's not. We've been there for a while. So every single time he steps in front of the camera, he further embarrasses us on the global stage. Here is him talking about Project Freedom, the project that was announced by the White House to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and get ships through, that they had to close down 20 hours later. It didn't even last for 24 hours before they had to shut it down because we are being humiliated. Take a listen to this clip.
Prime Minister and the Field Marshal. But I think Project Freedom is good, but I think we have other ways of doing it also. We may go back to Project Freedom if things don't happen, but it would be Project Freedom Plus.
Sorry, it's a little bit hard to hear due to the helicopter and due to all the noise. I understand that, but I have the transcript right here. He says, we may go back to Project Freedom, but it would be Project Freedom Plus. Project Freedom plus other things. Dog, we don't have a plan for this war, do we? We are almost 70 days into this war, and our first operation, Epic Fury, was such a failure that they had to disband this operation. We didn't get any concessions from Iran, zero, and now we're starting a new project called Project Freedom, but even that was disbanded after 24 hours, and now we're essentially in no man's land. We're entering another long, endless Middle Eastern war in which there is no off-ramp, and this is why the United States is rapidly losing all respect on the global stage. Here's Trump saying that Iran is actually coming along quite nicely.
Sent an aircraft carrier toward the Strait of Hormuz. Prime sent any reaction?
No, I have no reaction to that. No, not at all. I think we're doing very well. Iran is seeming to be coming along very well. Militarily, very good. We'll see whether or not they can get there. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, but a war going well militarily does not mean that we're winning. We know this from Afghanistan and Iraq. Saddam Hussein was quite easy to kill for the United States. We have a strong military. But that turned into years and years of a messy, grinding counterinsurgency that cost us trillions and trillions of dollars. Same thing with Afghanistan, same thing with this war. Our president is lying and saying that it's coming along well when it's not. We have no cards right now, and Iran is not incentivized to negotiate with us in any meaningful way. Germany's Chancellor Merz is also talking about the real important issues. God. I wish we had a leader in the United States that was laser-focused on the largest threats in the world, which in my eyes would be Russia, in my eyes would be the authoritarian populism that is spreading through Europe, in my eyes would be people like Elon Musk, in the sense that he owns so much power with these platforms, and we need some way to make sure that one man can't have all of this power. But I wish we had a president that was laser-focused on AI, wealth inequality, healthcare, affordability, all of these issues, both domestically and globally, would be great. But instead, we have a president who's focused on a ballroom and an endless war. The reason I say this is because when I look at the German Chancellor Merz, and even when I look at Peter Magyar as well from Hungary, who just got sworn in, these are people who are laser focused on defeating the authoritarian threat that Russia is. My worry is when we allow them to continue to gain power and build their propaganda systems and enact war, wage war on Ukraine, they're basically just getting stronger and stronger over there in Russia over time because the United States isn't putting belt to ass. We don't have our foot on their neck applying pressure to a country that would like to see nothing more than the dissolution of the United States. And here's the reality. The Iranian regime is no friend of the U.S. either. The Iranian regime, we should be making deals with and negotiating with and hopefully integrating them into the global economy to de-radicalize the leadership, because the people who live in Iran, the citizens of Iran, are repressed. They are beaten. They are oppressed. Friend of the show, Micah Irfan, who's my policy advisor, he's Iranian-American. He has family in Iran and from Iran, and he has so many stories that we've talked through of his family members being beaten. Women in his family being beaten for not dressing the right way. This is not some liberal ideal. And every time I call this out, I get all these emails and comments saying, Adam, you misunderstand. Russia and Iran are not the bad guys. The United States is the bad guy. I think that is very, very misguided. I think we can talk about all of the flaws of the United States, all of the crimes that our president is committing, with also understanding the Iranian regime and the Russian regime are next level. Russia hasn't held an election since the year 2000 because Vladimir Putin has been killing, poisoning, and destroying all of his opponents with fake elections where he gets 90%. It's not like that in the United States. But to continue, here is German Chancellor Merz saying, we all know that security in Europe has fundamentally changed in recent years. And he calls out Russia with the type of clarity that our leaders are just missing.
And this cooperation makes all of us, makes Europe safer. So we all know that security in Europe has fundamentally changed in recent years. It is clear that Russia poses an imminent threat to us. In this time of geopolitical uncertainty and growing security challenges, Germany carries a special responsibility, not only for its own future, but also for the unity of Europe as a whole. And we Germans, we know that. Germany needs to become an anchor in terms of security and economic stability in Europe. And I promise you today, Germany is rising to this strategic challenge.
These are leaders that understand.
Transforming our army, the Bundeswehr, into the, quote, strongest conventional army in Europe.
That is the line right there. They're transforming their army into the strongest conventional army in Europe because these leaders understand the stakes on the global stage. They understand the growing populist authoritarian strain of politics that has seeped its way into mainstream US politics, mainstream European politics, even politics in other continents as well, that we need to be pushing back because Vladimir Putin will take advantage of this. This brings me back to domestic rounds. Donald Trump is sitting here not even understanding what's going on in his own administration. And it's important to draw this dichotomy or this juxtaposition, if you will, between leaders like Mayors and Peter Magyar, who understand the stakes of the moment and who are pushing back against Russia, versus Donald Trump, who is so incredibly sidetracked that he gets asked about Marty Makary. Marty Makary is the current FDA commissioner under Donald Trump, and Trump has been telling a plethora of reporters and journalists and people in the news that he's about to fire Marty Makary. There's, you know, a Wall Street Journal front page article from yesterday. Trump is planning to fire his FDA commissioner. He's a MAGA advocate, and he's had a tumultuous tenure. But when Trump gets asked about this, he claims he doesn't even know. He's just been reading about it in the papers. Dog, you're the one who's been telling the papers about this. What are we doing here? Listen.
Marty Makary. Nothing much.
Are you
going
to fire him?
I've been reading about it, but I know nothing about it.
I mean, it's actually just sort of a brilliant PR strategy. It's brilliantly stupid. He tells the press something. So then they start to ask him about it. And when he gets asked about it, he acts like he doesn't know anything other than what he read in the press, even though he was the one that planted it in the press in the first place. And it's just a never-ending feedback loop of him controlling the narrative. That's why we need to break it. We need to break the narrative. We need to push back and make sure they can't get away with this bullshit. That's what we've been doing every single day when we go on CNN and do these debates, which we have more coming up soon. When we host our own debate show, which we have coming up soon. When we do all of these podcasts and videos and pushback, it is a narrative breaker. It is quite literally a circuit breaker for the Republican narrative that they don't want you questioning. Well, we question it. We break the narrative and we push through. If you appreciate that, drop a like, subscribe to the Adam Ockler feed below. I love you all and peace out.